Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia.
Hello, everyone. It's Tom Meglia, financial planner. How are you? Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God. It's great. I'm just enjoying it. What a great day. Saturday afternoon. It's fun. We're talking about God's economy, the Bible. What else could be better? How do you like that music? That's Bonnie Moore playing the harp. Enjoy the hymns. I like them. And Bonnie is in Monrovia, California, Bonnie Moore. And you can go to her website if you like her music and check out the harp. She's awesome. And I love that hymn music she plays on the harp. Yeah, let's see. What's her website? www.bonnieharpsong.com. Sorry. bonnieharpsong.com. So appreciate that. So welcome to Knowing the Economy of God. This is the program I do every Saturday from 2 to 2:30 on finances. And basically, it's God's finances, God's ways, God's thinking, God's economy, as I put it. So I'd like to welcome you to the program. And we try to bust through a couple of, attitudes that the world has about finances. Number one, keeping God out of everything. That's something we do not want. We don't want that worldly attitude, do we? So one of the purposes of this program in my ministry, my financial planning business and practice for the last 27 years since I've been doing this is we're trying to learn to keep God in things, not the world's way of keeping God out of things. And our ego is not supreme and does not rule and does not take ownership. Whereas the world's thinking is our ego is supreme and takes ownership and should rule. So we're trying to bust through a couple attitudes that are in the world, and we don't want to do that. We don't want to be in the world. Well, we're in it, but we don't need to be of it, do we? Bible says we're in the world, but don't be of it or part of it or think like it. So that's why we want to get away from those two worldly attitudes of, number one, keeping God out of things, and number two, we rule and we command, and it's our pride and ego that set sail for the course of action. We're not doing that. We're submitting to God. He rules, not us. And first of all, we're keeping God in things because he is the one through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior and yours too. So the introduction I'll give you to myself, Tom Meglia, financial coach for Crown Ministries and financial planner, registered investment advisor, chartered life underwriter, chartered financial consultant, and financial coach. My friends say, oh, you're the financial planner, Tom, with the face for radio. You better tell everyone that. Okay, I will. So I did. Anyway, what we do on the program is I introduce and teach about God's economy. And that's why the program is titled Knowing the Economy of God. And the recipe to what I have written about, there's a book that'll be coming out in a few months that I and my wife, Julie, finally we got to the publisher. It's called Knowing the Economy of God, same title as the radio program. And basically it's to learn to apply God's financial principles to our normal and everyday life. Because the Bible is for today. The Bible is for right now. That's what we love. That's what we enjoy. And so the recipe to understanding God's economy is this. Number one, I've explained in my book, and I will to you, and also at lectures and seminars, the recipe goes like this. The scripture is number one. We cite the scripture in order to find God's economic principles. And that's number two. We state the principles. Number three, application. How do we apply God's economy to today's living, normal, everyday living life? And number four, the prayer of change. Asking God to change us to conform to what he wants us to do and to what he wants us to be. Because Jesus Christ is not just our Savior, is he? He's our Lord. And when he's Lord of the financial areas of our lives, we want to do what he wants us to do. So that's pretty much it. The recipe to knowing the economy of God. Number one, cite the scripture. Number two, state the economic principle. Number three, application. How do we apply it to our life to glorify God? And number four, the prayer of change. And that's the recipe that I've come up with. I think it's right. And I've gone through the Bible, and I will again today, cover to cover. Genesis to Revelation, all 66 books, pulling out and extracting God's economic principles and teachings to us, the Christians, to learn what to do and how to do it. So that's what we've been doing. It's been fun. And if you've missed a past program, go to the website and you can hear past radio broadcasts. The website is theeconomyofgod.com. Theeconomyofgod.com. Okay? So that's where you'll find past programs that you can listen to. So let's get busy. Now, we've been talking about the anchors to knowing the four most important sections of the Bible pertaining to money and finances, God's economy. And those four anchors are, number one, God is the one and true and only owner of everything. Number two, we are the steward or the servant manager of what belongs to God, motivated to glorify Him. Number three, giving. We are to be great and generous and sacrificial givers, cheerful givers. And number four, contentment. To learn to be content with what we have because God meets our needs. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Philippians 4:13. So God is the owner, anchor number one. Anchor number two, we're the steward. Anchor number three, giving is the natural and first order of stewardship. And number four, we're to be content. We're to learn contentment and practice it in our daily life on earth. And that's what God's economy boils down to, those four anchors. So what I'd like to do today is talk a little bit about restitution. We've been rolling through the Bible from beginning to end, Genesis, Exodus. Well, right now we're on Leviticus. And before I get to the scripture today about restoration or restitution, which is the economic principle lesson for today, I'd like to read some scripture to you to remind us that God is the owner. And if God is the owner, the one true owner, then we need to be listening and obeying Him and practicing all of these points and topics and lessons to honor and obey God. And before we get to restitution or restoration, let me remind you of some of the scriptures we've been studying lately, ever since I began the program back in July, that talks about God being the owner. Okay, so here we go. Listen to these verses. Tell me what you think. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, for He founded it upon the oceans and established it upon the waters. That's Psalms 24:1. Deuteronomy 8:18. Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Haggai 2:8. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Proverbs 22:2. The rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. 1 Chronicles 29:11-12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. And you know what's great about the Bible? It is the teacher. It's perfect for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that we're equipped for every good work. That, of course, comes from 2 Timothy 3:16. So the points or the principles we're communicating here is that God is the owner. And since He's the owner, He can demand and will demand accountability from us to do what He wants us to do. We must give up and surrender control and ownership of our finances to God. He is in control, not us. Now we can trust in the one who does have control. That's the Almighty God. But to do that, we need to surrender our financial decisions to God. We must give Him the control and the ownership. That's very, very important. And before we go to the break, I'll just give you a couple of more economic principles that back up these scriptures. We release ownership, my friends, because God is the only owner, the one and true only owner. And what we do with our finances says what we think or believe about who's the owner, me or God. I mean, what we do says what we believe and what we think, right? The encouragement is grace. There's always more opportunities to make wise changes towards trusting and obeying God. It's very important. And we will be blessed by doing this. Maybe not tangibly. It's up to God. He'll decide. It may be intangibly. But it's up to the Lord to decide what our blessing will look like. Okay, so that's the important thing about ownership. And we're running up to a break. And after the break, I'd like to talk to you about restoration and restitution and how when we obey that principle economically in God's word, we submit ownership to God. Okay, so I'll catch up with you right after the break in a couple of seconds. Thanks.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan, plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
Welcome back. Here we go. As I mentioned, we're in Leviticus. Leviticus 6, verse 1 through 5. The Lord said to Moses, "If anyone sins and is unfaithful to the Lord by deceiving his neighbor about something entrusted to him or left in his care or stolen, or if he cheats him, or if he finds lost property and lies about it, or if he swears falsely, or if he commits any such sin that people may do. When he thus sins and becomes guilty, he must return what he has stolen or taken by extortion, or what was entrusted to him, or the lost property he found, or whatever it was that he swore falsely about. He must restore it and return it. He must make restitution in full, add a fifth of the value to it, and give it all to the owner on the day he gives his guilt offering." Isn't that a great passage of Scripture? You know, we're talking about restitution, where we've done some kind of wrong to someone, and we're trying to make it right to honor God and submit to God as owner. When God's owner, we're going to want to make restitution for the things we've done wrong. Okay? We must do it. It honors God. Here's another great passage, Luke 19. 8 and 9, verse 8 and 9, Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. So in Leviticus, they talk about adding 20% back as like a penalty, plus restoring what was taken. And as Zacchaeus' point or thoughts, he said he'll give back 400%. But the point is to restore and to make restitution and give back a penalty or something above that as a token of being sorry, of apologizing, and for what kind of trouble was caused to the person that had the property or the goods in question. Now, the economic principle here is restitution. That's defined in Webster's, my friends, as an act of restoring or a condition of being restored to the rightful owner. That's what Webster's dictionary says. Restitution is an act of restoring or a condition of being restored to the rightful owner. You know, if the Holy Spirit is living in us, think about this for a moment. We're not going to be able to enjoy ill-gotten fruits, are we? Have you ever stolen something and not been able to enjoy the ill-gotten fruits? It's really interesting. And that's because there's unrest in our hearts. The Holy Spirit will put that unrest in our hearts. That's evidence that there's a problem, that our conscience hasn't gone numb. That's the unrest. That shows our conscience hasn't gone numb. And this prompting of the Spirit of God is telling us to repay what we've cheated plus extra. It's kind of a pain and suffering reimbursement for the person who endured harm. Okay? In God's economy, we need to say we're sorry and ask forgiveness of the offended party. So repenting, say we're sorry, both to God and to the party we offended, and ask forgiveness. Okay, that's a sin, what we did. So it's important that we repent and try to reconcile with the people we've hurt, just as we do with the Lord. Okay? So that's very, very important. We must restore, but also reconcile. It's very important. So let's say we used a coworker's supplies that we're working with without asking, and he gets upset, and we've used the supplies up. Let's say we're in a painting contracting business. We've used the other painter's supplies and paints and everything, and he's upset about it. Well, God's economy would say that we need to replace what we used and then fix up or patch up that relationship that we've threw a wedge in there because we did something they didn't know about and used up their tools or supplies. You know, Matthew 5 speaks of reconciliation, my friends. Matthew 5, verse 23 and 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Avoiding confrontation, my friends, or hiding from someone isn't God's way of solving a problem. Avoidance does not bring healing or victory. It just prolongs the uncomfortable situation. Have you ever been at a church where you see someone you know and you've had a conflict with them and you walk the other way or pretend you didn't see them? That doesn't work. There needs to be loving confrontation in truth and in humility to reconcile. That brings glory to God and to restore what was taken, what was ripped off, what was stolen, that kind of thing, cheated that in that way. Restoring relationships and repaying what's owed brings a huge amount of peace to your hearts, our hearts. Why have sleeplessness? We don't need that, do we? Now, let me give you some examples, okay? I'd like to give you some examples to apply this to your normal and everyday life. Now, last week I talked about a couple who divorced and the husband cheated the wife out of assets by hiding things from her. And she had to get the lawyer after him. And long story short, they finally got it resolved. But he made a big attempt to cheat her out of her property, her rightful community property share in California. So he just felt like he wanted to get the best of her. They were Christians, married quite a while, and that just was not a good thing. It was wrong. It was sin. He did reconcile and restore to her eventually, so that was good. But boy, was there a lot of broken glass, let me tell you. Let's say, for example, too, in real life, normal life, that you've or committed a bankruptcy or committing a bankruptcy or you're wanting to file bankruptcy. And let's say some of the debt that you're trying to wipe away was just irresponsible spending. In God's eyes, you still owe it. Even if the government says, okay, we wiped it out, you don't owe American Express or MasterCard or Visa that $10,000 or $15,000 or whatever it is of money that you owed that you put on the credit cards, you still owe it in God's eyes. So you need to go back to them and work something through to restore and pay back and make restitution for what you did. And that especially in the areas of debts that were just from irresponsible spending. Also, if someone cheated to get a degree in college, if you do that or cheat, you're cheating to get a credential or certificate, that's not a good thing too. That needs to be worked through. How about finding unclaimed property? Somebody lost something and you found it and you know they lost it, but you're not telling anyone that you have it. And you know that they're looking for it. That's another way of a chance or an opportunity where there needs to be restoration. There needs to be, putting back, giving back to what someone had lost. Because that's a way of gaining something illegally, sinfully, and knowing that someone is looking for something that they thought they owned but may have misplaced or they lost it. I gave an example last week about realtors, loan brokers. You know, if we use their time and energy, and if we're not compensating them and we're knowingly using their minds, picking their brains, taking their time when we have no intent of buying what they sell, the realtor, the loan broker, that kind of thing, that's wrong also. That's stealing their time and making them feel like we're going to do business with them. And if we don't, then we're ripping them off. We're stealing from them. That too is a sin. There needs to be restoration. House sitting. Some people house sit while others go away and abuse the premises. I know people that have had personal secretaries or house sitters that when they came back from their trips, things were taken. The house wasn't the same. All kinds of things happen. That's another situation where there needs to be restoration. How about tipping waitresses and waiters, or the lack of tipping when they've given good service, good food, good ambiance, that kind of thing. Or if we're given too much money back and buying a product at a local store. Let's say you buy something. Have you ever had that happen where you buy something at a store and they gave you back more than they were supposed to and you walked away with more change than you should have had? That's also a sin. That's cheating. So there needs to be restoration. We have to go back and give them back what we took extra in the form of the change that they gave us when we bought the product. So all these things in God's economy require reconciliation and restoration and apologies. These are just examples of what goes on out there in normal life. Now listen, it's time for prayer. So let's pray. Give me a call if you'd like a financial plan that fits your situation and honors God. I've been in business 27 years, so we can do some sit-down coffee and talk about working up a plan for you. So before I go, let me pray. Lord, thank you for this day. I pray for everyone listening to this program, Lord, that you would instill in their hearts the need to obey your word in the area of ownership and restoration. Me too. We honor you and praise you, Jesus. We thank you for the Bible. Change our hearts, Lord, to do what you want us to do in the area of God's economy, because Christ is our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Tom Meglia signing off, 800-386-3700. Thanks. Catch you next Saturday.
You've been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God. God.